Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, 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 I feel refreshed. We're back. We're black. We're brown ambition. Hey, 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 Mandy.
Hey, hey, hey. I need my own thing. You're hey, hey, hey. I'm just like, sup.
sup. It should be like, hey, 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 and sup.
Hi. So you had a big weekend.
I did. I went to Chicago for Lovey's wedding. She married this awesome guy named Carnell. It was cute because his last name is Jones, so the hashtag was Love Jones. Get it?
Does anyone not know who Lovey is at this point?
Those who might be living under a rock.
But what do we call her? Cultural icon?
Yeah, she's a social commenter. Yes, that's what I would call her. Like you have to call her anything, but she's a writer. She's an awesome podcast, two of them. She's a social commenter, and people typically hire her to share kind of like what many of us are thinking, but would not dare to say. And she's like, I'm going to say it.
Professional hot taker.
Yes. No, but honestly, it was dope because Superman came with me. It was in the Shy. Of course, it was rainy and cold, except for the day we were leaving. I was like, oh, that's great. But it was nice because she had a mixer. She had the traditional wedding, which Superman had never been to. And then she had what we call the white wedding, which is just because she wears the white dress. So she had the traditional and the white wedding on the same day.
Oh, that's what I was waiting to see, a picture of her in the traditional. Oh, it was the same day. Yeah, I saw that. Well, how was it the same day? It must have been like a 12-hour wedding because wedding takes – I went to one before and it was like – it was supposed to be from 4 to 10, but did it start till like 8 o'clock?
Yeah, sounds about right. And it literally lasted all night. Invitation, it said we were not doing Niger time. Nigerian time, for those of you unfamiliar, it's the extension of CP time.
Like way extended.
Way. So CP time is like, half an hour, 45 minutes, maybe an hour. Niger time is straight 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. But no, people largely came on time because she said we're not playing that. And so it started about an hour late, but that's actually pretty good for Niger time. But it was awesome to see the colors. So the way a traditional Nigerian wedding goes, so if we were living in Nigeria, Nigerians considered once you do the traditional wedding that you're married, whether you do the white wedding or not. Because the way it works is that really women are considered like this gift. And the groom's family has to come to the woman's compound. So a compound is like basically like you, your family, your extended family live in like typically a compound or a village. So if I were to go to like my village, almost everyone's like an Aliche. And then next door to that is like maybe my mom's village where everyone is at Ugara. That's her maiden name. And this is one of the ways that Africans prevented intermarrying. And marrying your first, second, third cousins. We ain't doing all that. So anyway, during the traditional wedding in the actual village, the family would actually come physically walk over to the woman's village and basically have to prove themselves worthy that, yes, we can take care of your daughter that you are bestowing upon us. And yes, we are, we know that this is a gift that you're sharing with us. And so you kind of like reenact that during the traditional wedding where like the woman's family wears like the same color or same fabric and they dance in, and then the man's family wears the same fabric and then they dance in, and then they kind of reenact coming into the compound and asking for the woman and like, you know, what they're willing to do. And yes, we're able to take care of her. And there's like this like kind of like switching over where the woman then joined the man's family. It's just really beautiful, honestly. It's just a lot of history and really beautiful. And it was, yeah, I tried to do as much. If you followed my IG, it's gone now, but I tried to do as much recording of it as possible so people can kind of see. But it was just beautiful array of colors. And then that was maybe like from 8:30 to like, I don't know, noon. And then we all went back to the hotel, took a nap, then came back for the ceremony, the white wedding, just meaning like the white dress ceremony at like 5. So it was honestly really beautiful. It was a great time.
Yeah, the colors were amazing.
Yes.
You guys looked amazing. I love the gold.
Yeah, because her colors were like gold and there was some blue in there. And then there was and burgundy. But yeah, it was gold because Carnell is, he's African-American. So I just thought that, you know, it was so nice, you know, because, you know, when you have two different cultures, figuring out how you're going to make it so each side feels like they're participating. So yeah, it was just like, honestly, it was really dope. But what was super fun was, honestly, from the first day that I got there, someone came up to me and they were like, oh my God, are you Tiffany from Brown Ambition? And I was like, what? Yes. Not Tiffany the Budgetista, but Tiffany from Brown Ambition. That happened like 4 times. And I was like, wow. I mean, there are other people that came up to me, like, cause, Superman and I go on to like, shopping and eating and all this kind of stuff. And so people came up to me definitely saying, oh, but Janista. But like this was the first time that so many people were like, no, Tiffany from Brown Ambition. And shout out to Brooklyn, young, black, amazing young man who he's like 21 or 22 that I was coming out of the hotel. I was staying at the Conrad, Chicago. And he was like, wait a minute, no way, Tiffany, I heard on your podcast that you were going to be here. I was like, wait, what? You listen to Brown Ambition? He's like, that's how I know you. And he was like so amped and I was giving him financial advice, but he totally loves the podcast. Shout out to you, Brooklyn. And honestly, it was just so awesome because that probably was the first man that's ever kind of like stopped me and said, oh my God, I'm a Brown Ambition fan. Love so that it. Was really dope. Yeah, I know. We out here in the streets.
We need to do a show in Chi-Town, apparently.
Yeah, no, honestly, it was really, really awesome. I just couldn't, because, you know, when we're on here, I'm like, we'll talk beforehand. Sometimes we'll talk after. And I will totally forget that, like, oh, we're taping a podcast because I'm like, oh, I'm talking to Mandy. And then I'm like, oh, wait, people listen. Y'all be listening. Keep it up.
They listen. They quote us on Twitter. People quoted me back to myself. I'm like, okay, be careful now. Actually, people want to know if you have made any progress hiring your executive assistant after last week's show where we talked about, if you haven't listened to it yet, you got to hear the story of Tiffany's yes. executive admin who was fired in less than 24 hours. 25 no. hours? What kind of what?
Yes, one of my employees hit me up. She said, you're savage, but I love it. I was like, no, I'm not. She said, no, it had to be done. And I felt so bad. But honestly, I didn't realize how many of y'all really listen. Mandy, I was so flooded with admin. We haven't even gotten through all of them yet. Like from almost instantly. So I'm like, oh, one or two. Oh, 30. Oh, I mean, flooded. So for those of you who shot me a message on thebudgetista.com, my COO is going through them. And, you know, she's sending out like, you know, whatever our requirements are. And then she'll start interviewing. But thank you so much, honestly. I'm like, wow. You know, you say things and you're like, are people out there? They're out there and they're listening. So yeah, if you hit me up like I asked you to, not via social media, but via thebudgetista.com and the contact me button, then someone's gonna reach out to you. So thank you guys.
Yes, thank you for specifying that. Don't go to our Instagram and try to apply. That's not the proper route. There's no forward button. Go to thebudgetista.com. To the contact form?
And then somebody will send you like an email with like next steps. I mean, I'm pretty sure right now we have tons of, I mean, you can still apply, I guess, if you'd like, but yes, for those who just, cause some people hit me up just on IG, you know, well-meaning, like, hey girl. And I'm like, sis, I gave one set of instructions already. You hit me up in the wrong way.
Don't tell them. This is the screener question. This is how you don't want to hire anyone who can't listen to directions. You know how, like, on your dating profile, I don't know, you never online dated probably, but no, back in the day when I was on the internet looking for love, you would try and like put something in your profile that people had to mention when they messaged you, just to like weed out people who wouldn't read your profile or were just clicking on like your pretty face or whatever. Yeah. So you need like the same kind of thing, like a little, I don't know, like a little hidden gem that only really detail oriented people, which is what you need, will find.
You're like, you don't listen already? Okay. What about you? How was your weekend?
The weekend was exhausting. I went to see Moulin Rouge, the Broadway musical. Mm-hmm. Which I was so excited about. It was really, really good. I mean, it was campy AF. Like, okay. I wish I had had a couple cocktails, but it was good. So much glitter, so much sparkle. Went with a couple girlfriends, and then I literally did not leave my house yesterday, and I somehow did close to 12,000 steps. In a single day, just cleaning and cooking. I mean, I was so tired and sore. I can't do that anymore, I don't think. I was like so tired and so sore, but I just have been in this, I don't know, I guess the nesting mode of just wanting everything to be organized and perfect and clean. And it was like a little tornado yesterday. Husband, I feel kind of guilty, but we got a quote to paint the nursery, like the couple of spare bedrooms upstairs, including what will be the nursery. And it was, you know, it wasn't insane. It was like $1,200, which it's not just painting. It's like we had to replace a bunch of doors. Mm-hmm. I won't get into it. But anyway, I was like, we can save $1,000 by you painting. So you're going to go get a paintbrush. Because it just seems so simple to me. Of course you can paint your future child's nursery, but that was 2 weeks ago. And lots of angry, you know, yells from him upstairs later. It just became a way bigger. Anyone who's ever painted on your own.
Yes.
It's not just painting. It's like the prep. It's sanding. Yeah. It's like a million things. And I just am so tired of him complaining about how hard it is that he managed to finish the baby's room, and I've caved in, and we're going to just hire painters to do the rest of it.
What I'm learning, that's something that I'm learning. Like, it's one thing when you're like broke. I get it. Cause I'd be like, so I'll be doing my own hair. Thanks. Because I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to pay for this food. Mm-hmm. But it's taken me a long time. I feel like it's only within the last maybe like year but take me a long time. Do you find yourself like it's really Angelie, my financial advisor. She's like, Tiffany, because I was like, yeah, me and Gerard got to cut this cable off. She's like, is it because you don't use it or you think that you can't afford it? I'm like, I'm reasonably know we can afford it, but it just seems like a lot. She's like, okay. So, but you're right. There's some things where it actually doesn't make sense for you to do it yourself because of either the stress or painting is like, I mistakenly offered for my parents that we were going to paint their guest bedroom, which is in the basement. I'm like, oh, me and Gerard can do it together. Superman and I, it'll be fun. 3 days later, he was like, so you and your suggestions, we never go because it's just, so I'm just learning now about certain things. Like, cause I was thinking to myself, I don't know if I'll do TaskRabbit or maybe I'll just hire like someone who's basically going to be like my errand person. I was just thinking about that today on the plane. Cause I was like, oh, I got to return this. And I got to, and I'm like, I have so much other like business work to do. And I was thinking to myself, Tiffany, you have to return this Amazon stuff. You've got to, you know, there's all these little things like you want to return those jeans to Target. But I'm like, well, why wouldn't it be better if you just had like an errand person come to the house once a week and you give them these kind of like nonsensical errands that don't require you to do that? Because I'm listening, and this is a good Netflix has this great documentary about Inside the Mind of Bill Gates. And one of the things that really struck me about why he was so successful was that he is so focused. He uses all of his energy for a singular focus. Now, I don't want to do all that because Bill Gates is borderline, you know, crazy when it comes to that. But I do know that I spread myself too thin. And some of those things are really like, do I have to go to Target to return these jeans? No, I do not. Someone can do that, Tiffany, for you. So I'm learning that, like, I'm not broke anymore. And it's okay to spend money to make life a little easier instead of running every single solitary minute errand myself on top of trying to, like, run a business, you know?
Yes, I hear you. And my husband would be nodding his head, probably like breaking his neck right now if he heard you. Because all he keeps saying is, man, we could have professionals come, been done in 48 hours. And, you know, because I've been getting on to him because I forced him to come visit his cousin, you know, some of our friends this weekend, because he's just been in the nursery, like painting or doing whatever he's doing, making noise for the past 2 or 3 weekends. And I'm like, are we just not going to have a life anymore? Are you just going to be up there all the time? Why can't you go faster? And, you know, you can imagine his reaction to that. So we're going to hire the painters. But we did at least finish the paint in the fetus's room. So we're excited about that.
So for the baby, is it the room, is it close to the master bedroom? Because all like the moms I know is like, you're not going to want the baby to be far. Because I almost like, we have like a, I turned it to my office now, but I was going to put the nursery on the second floor and we're on the third floor. Every mom's like, girl, bye. That's not how that works.
Right. Well, we don't really have a choice. And I know ideally you would have the nursery on the same level, but our house is small. It's not, even if it's upstairs, but it's not far. Like literally it's right outside our door. But you know, the first 6 months I have, and that's why we're not rushing the nursery either. I don't have any grand plans to make sure it's perfectly decorated and Instagram ready. I just want paint and furniture in there. Cause it's going to be in our room for the first 6 months, right?
Yeah.
You know, attached to the bed. So I'm actually switching to work on, we need to be focusing on our little triage center in our bedroom. Like, where are we going to change the diapers and where am I going to breastfeed and like making that little baby nook in the bedroom now. That's our plan. Yeah. But coming down, like we're 9 weeks out now and the serious conversations around childcare need to be happening and pediatricians need to be booked and,
oh my goodness, Mandy. You make it. You're running this baby. It's like a business. You're like, so you can tell you're so type A. Like, okay.
My therapist said it's very healthy how I'm handling it. Thank you very much.
No, it's good to be organized, honestly. Yo, I'm like wild where I'd be like, I had one sister that I was like, did you even get a crib yet? Because it was her second. So she was like, yeah, so I'm finna do that this weekend. I'm like, that baby's due this weekend. Let's go.
Well,
it's funny. Like baby one versus baby two, there's a big difference.
I know. Well, my brother was baby four, so we still hear him complaining about how he has no photos of himself as a child because my parents were tired by then. But no, I mean, I've honestly been procrastinating until this point. I kept saying I'm going to wait till like 8 weeks out because I've been trying to just focus on, I don't know, baby moon and traveling and my selfish things that I wanted to get done before the kid comes. But now it's like go time. I just don't want to be caught in a frenzy. And now that I'm getting more, the third trimester is real. There is a difference. I feel different now. I'm definitely feeling tired and pregnant. And I'm like, need to get stuff done before my energy is depleted even further. Like I give myself a pat on the back if I walk the dog in the morning.
Do dogs treat you differently when you're pregnant?
My husband says she's just sniffing for crumbs, but she does lay her head on my tummy. Sometimes my husband's like, she's probably just looking for crumbs. But no, I think I've heard from other women that their dog, sometimes it can be bad. Like sometimes the dogs can like, will start getting territorial and like peeing randomly and acting out and stuff. But not really, there hasn't been a change. However, did I tell you guys that we decided to hire a dog trainer to get Molly in shape? Yeah, okay. So on my list of pre-baby things is, so we have a dog, Molly. And if you guys out there have children and pets, or had a pet before you had your first child, I'm open to anything, any advice you guys have. But Molly is, she's almost 2 years, but she's still very puppyish. And we've only had her since February, and she does have some behavioral issues. So I just got paranoid that baby would come and Molly would become problematic and step on the baby or bark at the baby or something, you know? So we searched and searched and found a really nice training service in our area, which is expensive up front. It's $1,200, but you get the trainer for the lifetime of the dog. So we do it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I've heard from so many people. Well, okay. 3 people who've paid for upwards of $2,000 for a single week of lessons, or sent, like my mom sent her dog away for 2 weeks for $2,000. And there was no follow-up, you know, after that. But this trainer comes, does everything in your house. So we don't have to send the dog anywhere. And she has her own program for getting the dog ready for baby. So she came a couple weeks ago, and we've already seen a big difference in Molly, some of her behaviors that have been problematic. And I feel really good about it because, I mean, I was paranoid that she was going to come and be like, oh, you can't have this dog. Like, sorry, this dog's too wild. But it's been good. And I think that was worth the investment. And she can come back anytime. If we ever have an issue, we can call her and she'll return. So we're happy about that.
No, that's good. Cause you're right. I think, you know, well, I mean, I feel like largely pets are, you know, do good with babies, I guess. I don't know. I've had a cat, but I was like a teenager. But I see like my, niece and nephew, their uncle has like a pit bull and they used to all live together. And I'd be like, so, but that dog was so good with them. Like, oh, you know, they'd be like, I love Rocky. And I'm like, I'm scared of Rocky. They're like pulling Rocky's tail. Cause like Rocky's like clearly new. These are kids, but they'd be pulling his tail, trying to ride him. And he was like such a good sport about it. But I'd be like, I'm gonna sit over here. No, but what I love about it is that it made them not nervous about, like when they're out, they're like, doggy. You know how some kids are like, I'm scared.
Yes.
But yeah, they're like, you know, because they're four and two. And when other dogs are around, they're like totally like, ooh, like, you know, let me pet. I'm not scared, which I do like, you know?
Yeah, it makes me sad when we have kids over who are afraid of dogs because it, yeah. You know, it stresses out. I had to keep the dog upstairs and she can feel that tension. But yeah. We're going to prepare. They say to like, make sure you bring home the baby's blanket before you come home so they can start sniffing it. But definitely dogs have various reactions. So if you guys want to share your puppy baby story, but pit bulls, it's not about the breed. So I'll do a quick PSA for pit bulls because my neighbor has a pit bull. They had her since a puppy and her 2-year-old little master, Joe, who's their baby. Like he rolls all over her, pulls her tail, mm-hmm. chases her mm-hmm. around, and they're the cutest little couple. I just want that mm-hmm. for Molly too.
But yeah.
You know, but she's too crazy. I'm afraid, but we'll see. All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost worked there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access, wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
Well, it's time for my favorite segment of the show, questions. If you got them, share them. Mindy will show how.
You went from James Brown to like Alexa with your tone. All right, you guys, you know the drill. Reach out to us with your questions, any and all questions. Of course, we're not financial experts or investment advisors, but we do the best we can to share advice and tips based on our own experience. You can hit us up at brownambitionpodcast.com. Go to Ask Us Anything, or I'm getting lots of questions from you guys on Instagram, which is great. We're at brownambitionpodcast on the gram. And you can email us directly at brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com.
And yes, I always say we're not your financial gurus. We're your financial girlfriends.
That's very different. Mm-hmm. Very, very different. Okay. We got a bunch of questions over the last week. So let me start with, speaking of men who listen to the show, how about a question from listener Jason?
Ooh, okay.
He and I actually have a similar problem. So I feel you on this question, Jason. So here's what he says. My wife and I are on our debt payoff journey using the snowball method. We're expecting our second child in a couple months, and I'm starting to think of replacing my sedan with a crossover SUV within a year. Both of our cars are paid off, and it feels so good, but I'm torn because I really wanted my next car to be paid for in cash. But we also want to save about $10,000 to have as savings, for the baby after the baby's delivery because my wife won't be able to work for a few months. Reaching that goal has been complicated. So I'm wondering, would me getting a newer vehicle make me financially irresponsible, or am I thinking too hard? We have plenty of breathing room financially, but I can't ignore my commitment to have our family debt-free in the near future. Please help a frugal guy who is scared to make a decision.
So what was his name again?
Jason.
So just let me, so I can get some clarifying questions. So for Jason, they have two cars that are paid off.
They do, but he wants, basically, I didn't read his entire question because it was long, but the car that they're looking to replace has like over 100,000+ miles on it and is old. So he wants to upgrade it to something that's like an SUV size, but he doesn't think he'll be able to pay for it in cash if they want to stick to their goal of saving $10,000 before the baby comes.
Okay. So that makes a difference, because if he was just getting a new car because, you know, trying to be cute, stunt on them in these streets, then I'd be like, well, but honestly, I mean, you know, depending on what kind of car it is, you know, Nissans and Hondas and, you know, those things can 200,000, 100,000 is not much for a Honda, you know, quite honestly, if they're, if it's been well taken care of and getting regular oil changes. But for like an American car, that might be a lot. And only can you kind of know your car. So if you feel like it's already starting to give trouble, then, you know, I might, you know, say, you know, now's the time to make the move. But if it's more so like, well, we're going to have to eventually get another car anyway, although the car's not giving me any trouble, I probably, quite honestly, I would probably wait, because my financial goal of having more than enough saved because your wife's not working would for me would likely be the greater pull if the car was still safe. You know, now if the car's on the borderline, then I might be like, oh, okay, especially since, you know, it's not going to put you in the financial harm's way. Just the, it'll of course be debt that you have, but I mean, some things can't be avoided. Then, you know, then I would go ahead and get a safer car. But to me, it really all depends on the state of the car and how you feel about it. Like if it's not giving you any trouble, then I likely would like just to say like the Honda, whatever. And you're like, honestly, it could go another 50 to 100 easily. Then I probably would rock out, save that 10,000. Cause you just never know. I mean, for me, but I err on the side of caution and like, I am definitely a saveaholic. So, you know, I don't know if I'm the best person.
I mean, how long did you have your car before you upgraded?
Child, don't even ask. Because first of all, Mandy, I had the car so bad, like Superman would have to pick me up from places. Like, honestly, Tiffany, I need to replace that. Literally, it was a 50-50 chance if this car was going to turn on. And I was like, you know what? I think it's time for another car. So I am, but do not, obviously, that is not what I want for you. So I probably should have given away my car or you know, got rid of that car probably a year or two prior, but it was a Toyota Camry. And honestly, I'm not gonna lie, it rocked out for a long time with no issue. And then, you know, then like, you know, 2 years before I got rid of it, it started to like act up a little bit, and I should have gotten rid of it as soon as it started to act up. But I didn't, because I was scared of not having, well, one, I didn't want to have debt, you know, getting a car. And two, I was scared of not having money saved, because the recession really scarred me. And I was like, I'm scared to take this money out. But finally, I did pay for the car that I have now cash. I will say that. So that helped me to get over that. But that's not my expectation from you. Sometimes we need to borrow. Sometimes we need to finance. And as long as you're doing so responsibly and you're doing so because it's for the safety of your family, then there's nothing wrong with that.
I agree. And actually, my husband and I are having the same debate right now, because we only have one car. And already we're having days where, you know, I need the car, I need to go somewhere. And the other person's like, okay, you know, now we're in the suburbs, so there's no trains. I mean, there is a train, but it only goes to the city, you know. So we sometimes end up, like, I'll end up taking an Uber to the doctor in the morning if he needs to get to work at a certain time or whatever. And he's definitely pushing for a new car. Of course he wants a Tesla. And of course he's wanted a Tesla for years and years and years.
I remember.
And I'm just like, it can't be a Tesla, because I don't know. I feel like with a luxury car like a Tesla, if you have to finance it, then like, why do you have a Tesla? I don't know. So I think, and especially when the kid comes, I feel like two cars will be good, but our car is paid off and hey, we don't have a debt payment. And I'm just like Jason, where I feel so good about that and kind of cocky about it. You know, I like it. I'm proud of the fact that we don't have a car payment, but it may end up being another paint situation where the cost of, and we could qualify for a really great loan, I'm sure, for some, you know, a really good rate on a loan if we needed to finance something and put down a decent deposit or whatever, and just do what we did with the first car, which is aggressively pay it off in the first 6 months. But I think I might end up having to give in. I am, however, I think there's just too much going on right now. It was our first kid coming. You know, I also have a goal for our emergency savings, and it's where I want it to be right now, and I don't want to dip into it. We just are, we're still on this process, finishing updating the house and stuff. So for me, it's not the top of my priority list right now. And I've just said, let's see what happens with this little kid. And if it really becomes a huge burden for us not to have a second car, then okay, we can make that decision when the time comes to it. I don't know if doing it right now, especially before your second kid comes, makes the most sense. At least not, that's not the way I'm going to handle it. I'm thinking, well, let's just like get through this. So, and go ahead and start saving, like whether it's for the kids, you know, if that 10K that you wanted for your, to replace your wife's income, or you end up not needing the full amount and you can put some toward a car later, just starting to save now for whatever comes probably makes the most sense. And then you guys can decide later, you know, how best to use that savings.
Yeah. I think like if it's no urgency, don't act urgently. Oh, look, that's a little rhyme.
Wait, did you just make that up right now?
I did.
That was good.
Right? That if there's no urgency, don't act urgently. You know, so the good thing is you sound like you're in good shape, so.
Sound like a Run DMC line or something.
Yeah, it does, right? If there is no urgency, then right. You don't act urgently.
Right? Okay. It does. I've been watching a lot of Living Single lately in my 90s groove. Again, I started from the beginning. It's too good. All right. Thank you so much for your question, Jason. And congrats on number two. It's exciting.
Yes.
All right. Let's see. I'm going to take a question from a repeat questionnaire only because this one's really funny. Well, not funny, but I think we both will have an interesting answer. And I think it's a unique problem that touches on what happens when she earns more. All right. From the gram. We'll keep her anonymous. Anonymous says, my boyfriend and I both earn six-figure incomes, but I make 20K more than he does, and recently his pride has become a problem. For example, I recently wanted to get orchestra tickets to a show, but he wanted to get mezzanine. I told him I'd buy the orchestra tickets I wanted, and then he could buy dinner. He got mad at me, saying I always throw my money around, and it's the same show no matter where we sit. Things like this are happening more and more often. I don't care that he makes less than me. We've been together for a year. I'm not willing to have less enjoyment with him than I would have without him, especially when I'm willing to pay for what I want. How have you guys dealt with male pride related to the difference in income? When is this pride too much and you are better off potentially ending it? Thanks. So they've been together a year and already he's got some problems that she's earning. She's in a bit more financially of a comfortable space than he may be. Yeah. Interesting that they already know where what each other earns that early in their relationship.
Yeah.
I guess that's
good. Yeah, especially to that. Sometimes you know, like, oh, I make a little bit more, but especially to that specific degree.
Because 20K over the course of a year, you know, especially, I don't know where they live, but let's say they live in New York City. You're not talking about, like, a different income bracket. You know, it's not necessarily that much of a deal. But, I mean, it would give you the little bit of extra disposable income.
To get those orchestra seats.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what do you say?
Well, I mean, here's the thing with Superman and I mean, I make significantly more, like, you know, probably five or six times more. So, but they're definitely, when I first met him, we were like grown. So I moved in. Well, I knew him from before. We had dated off and on before. And so when we started dating seriously again, I moved in after like a year and a half, but he was insistent that he pay the bills, basically, because he was like, before you got here, I was paying the bills. So, you know, so even though with my finances, we could have definitely afforded to live someplace better. But that was like his thing. I'm the man. I pay the bills. And I said, OK. And honestly, I wasn't mad at that because the last serious boyfriend I had before him was like my son. It got so bad. I remember one time, this is when I knew we're breaking up. We went to go get ice cream and it was a whole dollar. And so, you know, like, so we're staying at the ice cream. And so he orders his ice cream and steps to the side, like, mom, you got this? And I looked at him. I said, you don't have a dollar? He looked flustered because he was so used to me, because I was young, growing up in our 20s. He was so used to me paying like everything. And I remember looking at him thinking to myself, this is what I would do with my son if I had one. Like, you would order your ice cream and I would pay for it. And I was like, this is not going to work. So I actually kind of appreciated the fact that Superman was not like that. And I respected the fact that he was like, you know, I want to, you know, I might not make as much as you, but I'm going to contribute. So we, like I said, we lived in honestly, quite honestly, what I call the halfway hood. But what we did do is that I was like, okay, especially when we got serious, then I will save, you know, so you pay the bills, then I will, even though I actually paid the bills online, but it was his money. Like, he would have his money deposited until we opened up once we got married, it was a joint bills account. But at the time, it was his checking account, but I would go in and like pay the bills. But, and even when we bought the house, Mandy, honestly, one of his prerequisites, which was really hard, was that we couldn't get more house than he could afford. I was like, huh, you know? So, and at the time we were looking for, to finance. And so like when it came down to like, okay, well, let's look at the financials. It was like, well, this is what he makes annually. And so that meant that's what our mortgage could be. Even though I was like, well, we can get more. Nope. And I was like, okay, because I get it. Because he's like, Tiffany, I want to be able to provide. And if something should happen to you or you don't want to work anymore because you want to have kids, whatever it is, I want to make sure that we're not dependent on you being the budgetista for us to be able to maintain life. So, I mean, I hit the jackpot in that. I know. And I appreciate that. And I hit the jackpot in that the house that we end up getting, we end up paying for it cash because it was a foreclosure. The bank would not take financing. And we, like I said, we lived off his income and we saved and invested mine. He had personal savings himself. I have personal savings, but we have our joint savings. And then he pays bills. And then I contribute to the bills as far as it relates to like my family. So we like help out some family members. But I contribute to that component. So I just share all that to say that that's not necessarily a bad thing. He's gotten a little bit better with like allowing me to kind of say like, well, I got it, you know? So it wasn't easy. Cause sometimes, you know, like I'll want, cause I'm not someone, I would do mezzanine as well. So most of the time we're on the same page, but every once in a while I'm like, let's get fancy and do this fancy thing. And I could tell he's slightly like uncomfortable, even though we're married now. So we have a rule now. This is what we've done to ease it up, even though you guys are not married, so it's different. But we have a rule now that if we go on a date, so groceries, all that kind of stuff, we know that's like community property. But if we go on a date to alleviate that sense of, well, we want to go someplace fancy, but maybe because I pay most of the bills, I don't have it, is that you're allowed to use our community property money. Like if I'm treating, I'm not really treating, I'm just taking it from our joint checking account. And if he's treating, same thing. So it alleviates some of that feeling. So I would just say that it's not necessarily a bad thing that he wants to be able to afford and not lean on you. But I think that it's more about talking about it. And maybe if you guys can save jointly, not in a joint account together, but meaning like there's maybe like an account where you're setting aside for those things. So you can kind of upgrade experiences from a place that's been set aside and saved. So that's what we did. We had two separate savings accounts where we would be saving. And when we went to go on vacation, it wasn't like, I can't afford to go. We would kind of pull from our joint savings accounts and just continuously talking about it. But I feel him and I don't think it's necessarily wrong.
Yeah. And what I'll say is, I mean, you guys have only been together for a year and the attitude that you bring to it of, I don't want to enjoy my life less than I would if he wasn't in the picture. I don't know if that's the right attitude to bring to the table, especially this early. Yeah. I mean, I think you may just have a difference in priorities. And my husband and I definitely early on dating, it was clear we had difference in how we, like, he loved to spend money on gadgets. I love to spend money on travel. To me, it was stupid for him to spend, you know, he got me an Apple Watch for my birthday, for example, like my past birthday. And I'm on the inside, I'm like, seriously, dude, this is so much money for a watch. But like that for him, it means something and it's a useful use. It means something for his money, you know, to spend it on that. And I've come around to the fact that he really does see value and take pleasure in tech things. And he's come around to the way that I value traveling. And we both kind of have agreed, okay, you know, we'll bend for each other or we'll, you know, we'll save toward goals that we both
So I'm cool with saving toward a goal that has something to do with gadgets. And he's cool with saving toward a goal that has something to do with travel, because we've kind of accepted, okay, these are our differences and priorities for where our disposable income goes. And maybe it's just that he doesn't love theater, and maybe he would be happy spending a lot of money on, you know, whatever he is interested in. And I feel like you should be open to understanding where, what makes, you know, where he puts value in things, and don't see it as a deal breaker. And, you know, front mezzanine seats are the, that's where I love to sit, front mezzanine. Orchestra's not always the best. And, you know, would you rather be at a show by yourself or with a nice man who has a good job? Like, exactly. I don't know. So I sometimes, is single life with you going to shows by yourself? I used to go to shows by myself. I wouldn't go back to those days necessarily.
You can have your fancy friends, right? Because I've got a fancy friend. My friend Gabrielle is one of my fancy friends. And so, because Superman is not fancy. And honestly, typically I'm not either. But when it comes to like going to like the fancy restaurant, or whatever, my friend Gabrielle, he's the one that's like, ooh, let's do this fancy thing. And I'm like, oh gosh, how much is this going to cost me? But that's where I do those fancy things with. So, I mean, you know, it's okay to be like, you know what, with my man, we're going to do it this way. But, you know, I've got a couple friends that I know that if I'm wanting to do this specific thing, I go with them. It's okay for your man to be one of your friends, not your only, you know?
So oh, exactly.
Yeah.
And maybe it really is that he just doesn't love theater enough to want to put the extra money toward it, which is fine. You know, there's times that I really love having, first of all, it's great to have people who love to go to shows with you, because it is hella expensive. And once you start living out, you know, jointly income wise, you're just paying double, you know, than you would if you went by yourself with some girlfriends. So it's actually a way of saving money eventually. But I don't see his pride as a huge red flag. I think it's maybe less to do with, it could be less to do with pride and more to do with just difference in priorities of where you guys spend. And maybe you should just start understanding a little bit better what he values and how to, you know, compromise and do what he values sometimes too, not just what you value.
Yeah.
But thank you very much for your question. All right. We're going to close the reader inbox for the day. But again, holler at us at Instagram, Brand Ambition Podcast on Instagram, or go to brandambitionpodcast.com to leave us your questions. Uh-huh.
So now it's time to boost or break with all our family. You're going to boost? You're going to break? What you going to do, Mandy?
I got to do, this is not necessarily financial. I mean, I always find a way to make it financial. But I am so annoyed. So I've always dealt with acid reflux, and having, you know, all my organs being pushed up my throat right now really has made it worse. And anyone who's been pregnant probably deals with it. And what did my doctor prescribe me? But you know, take a Zantac once a day. It's perfectly fine, blah, blah, blah. Turns out Zantac's on, like recently studies have found traces of this type of chemical or something that causes cancer. And I'm just like, what the? And I've been taking it for, for years. It's been like the go-to over-the-counter drug. And it's not cheap, these stupid over-the-counter drugs. And you can't use your FSA card to purchase them either. So like, you know, it's an investment buying these stupid drugs. And I'm just like, I don't know, taking a brown break from the FDA or whoever is not regulating these drug companies and giving me something else to stress about, essentially. So even though the FDA, if you guys take, it's such a common over-the-counter medication, if you guys take it, the FDA has not said that the study findings are conclusive enough to show that you should stop taking it right now. But Walgreens, Rite Aid, and CVS have all pulled it off their shelves. So...
So that's very telling.
Very telling. And I mean, I talked to my doctor and I was like, so what do you think? And she was like, these studies are whatever. Just keep taking it. I'm like, but can you give me an alternative just in case? Like, I don't know, hormonal, emotional pregnant lady here. Maybe let's not play games with my Zantac.
Yeah. But
so that's a brown break. And I will be looking for an alternative to my ride or die, because Zantac really like gives me life. It's the reason I can get up in the morning and actually like get through the day, because acid reflux is no joke.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I can't, when I have it, it feels like, I mean, I don't get it often, but every once in a while I'll hit and I'm like, what is this? Death. So I can't imagine. So I'm going to take a break as well. I'm going to tread lightly. So there's an organization that I did work with. And so there are like other requirements. But, you know, like it was totally volunteer. I was like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll do this. Not no payment or anything. The level of instruction of what to do after. You ever met some, I have never gotten more emails. And then more instruction. And I'm like, what is happening? I feel like I'm in like a I don't know, freshman seminar. Like there's so many emails, so much instruction, so much. And I'm like, all for this one thing that I donated my time for? So
is it too late to back out?
No, because I've already done I already did the donating part. And so I just honestly told my admins, like, you know, hey, just kind of flag me when it's like really important, because there's so much work. And I'm thinking to myself, I can't be the only one who thinks that when you ask something of someone and they donate their time, that I feel like it's my duty. And I try to do this. I'm sure we failed at sometimes. I try on my end to make the donation process, and I'm not talking about financial, like your time, to try to make that process as easy as possible. Just because I'm already grateful that, you know, you're already giving your time. So then you're giving your time and I'm saying, and then more time and more time. Oh, a little bit more time. Could I have some time on top of time? And I'm like, so that is kind of like my brown break. It's just like, whoo, child. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I can't wait for this component of my life to be over, because there's so many instructions and I get what they're doing. The reason why there's so many instructions, they think they're making it easier. You know, but sometimes it's like the law of diminishing returns, where you can have a good thing, but sometimes too much of a good thing actually becomes a bad thing. Like if you drink too much water, you can actually flood yourself on the inside. Or for like me, I saved so much that actually was detrimental because I was not investing. You know, so it is possible to do a good thing too much. So they're trying to make it as organized as possible. But honestly, it's actually made it disorganized. We have tipped over into where it no longer is easy breezy. It is actually overwhelming. And I've checked out. I just looked at my inbox and I'm like, another email. You know what? I'm not doing it.
They need someone to send them a one word email, KISS, which stands for keep it simple, stupid.
But like I said, it's a good
overcomplicated
thing. I mean, the thing I donated, like, it's definitely an awesome organization. They're doing great work. So I'm glad for the donation of my time they gave. That's not it. It's just the follow up and all that's required afterwards is definitely, you know, borderline overwhelming. And I'm like, it's giving me anxiety. And I'm like, so I just can't wait till it's done. But yeah, that's my brown break, that, you know, overcomplicating things and, you know, making a thing more than it needs to be.
I co-sign that brown break. All right, that's the show. We'll see you guys next week.
Yes, indeed.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a PS to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the PS first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.